First, kids in Wisconsin are speaking out about mental health.
Hi, my name is Erica Williams Clark. I'm a senior at the Milwaukee High School of the Arts, and I'm here to talk about my cousin. On January 17th, 2017, we get the worst news ever. It's supposed to be welcoming a new year. My aunt walked into the house and say, Naima just passed. She took her own life. And I can feel everyone feeling really sad in the room. And it was a big pit in my heart that was hurting. How could my 13-year-old cousin, beautiful, beautiful cousin, ever want to harm herself? What was going on? And the most scariest thing was that she disguised all this hurt and pain from us. We didn't even know.
That story and several others were shared at Milwaukee's Kids in Crisis Day of Action. The event was one of three held in the state this year as part of a special series covering youth who are dealing with things like depression, anxiety, loss, and the search for identity. Rory Linane is a reporter for the USA Today Network Wisconsin. She organized the Milwaukee Kids in Crisis Day of Action events and covers youth mental health for the Kids in Crisis series. Rory, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Well, tell us a little more about what happened at these Kids in Crisis events.
Yeah, well, our goal this year was really to center youth voices throughout the whole series. So at the events, we tried to have young people sharing their stories. And in some cases, we also had experts there who could add some context and talk about some local resources for mental health.
And you've been working on this Kids in Crisis series for quite a while now. We've talked to you about it in the past. Why is it important for kids to tell their own stories and for us to hear their stories?
Yeah, well, they are the people who are going through this. And so when we're trying to figure out how best to address youth mental health challenges, I think it makes the most sense to ask young people themselves. And I think we often don't give them enough credit for how much they understand what's going on inside them and how much commitment they have to making sure that other people don't have to suffer the ways that they have. And they're just really passionate about bringing down stigma around mental health.
And in that story we just heard from Erica about her cousin and her cousin's suicide, as she said, the scariest thing was that she disguised all this hurt and pain. That's what you're trying to help bridge here, the idea that people are suffering in silence and afraid, maybe ashamed to talk about it.
Yeah, definitely. Erica talked a lot about that, how that happened with her cousin. And now that she has seen firsthand how people can really hide their pain, it's changed the way that she watches her friends and talks to her friends. And, you know, for me, too, from working on this series, it changes the way that you address mental health, and it makes you want to be really direct about it with the people you love to make sure that they'll be okay.
And Rory, we think of mental health problems as something that people don't want to talk about. They might be afraid of a stigma. So you put this out there for kids, say in high school, to talk about. What kind of response did you get? Was there a hunger to start bringing these issues out?
Definitely. I think there was a hunger on the part of the people sharing their stories and on the part of the people who are reading the stories and coming to the events. I was nervous about whether we'd find young people who really wanted to do this. And we also wanted to be really careful that this was a good, positive experience for them, because when you go public, you can get some positive and negative feedback. So before we did the events, we had all of the young people. We had a couple workshops with them where they could talk with a mental health professional and figure out whether this was something they wanted to do. And in the end, I think all of the young people were really happy that they shared their stories. And it was an empowering experience for them. And the audience was in tears. Everyone was hugging after the events because they were so moving and really inspiring.
I want to listen to another one of the storytellers who participated. Here's TJ Esser, a sophomore at Germantown High School.
My mom, my dad, and my sister were in my parents' room having just like a family meeting while they were having like a meeting with each of the kids. And my sister went in there first and was like, there's something going on with TJ and it's not my place to tell you. And my mom freaked out and came in by me and thought something really bad was going on. You can't force me to come out to you. And she was like, you're gay? I was like, no. I'm trans. And she was like, what does that mean? And I was like, oh, well, so this is going to be a trip. So I came out to my mom, and then my dad had come in by that point. And then he heard me say it. And my dad came in and was like, I'm proud of you. I'm sorry that you have to go through this. I'm like, it's not something to be sorry for. It's just something to deal with.
So TJ talked about his experience of being transgender, in part, I guess, before he knew what was happening and how. What other kinds of stories came out from these events?
Yeah, there was a wide range of stories. I really like TJ's story because one part of our series talked about how LGBTQ students are more often experience mental health challenges and more often have suicidal thoughts. And it's important to understand that that's not a result of being an LGBTQ student, but a result of the discrimination that they face in their schools and other environments. And so TJ talked about how being transgender is not a problem, but a solution to a problem, and that people have to embrace that in order to support the mental health of LGBT students. So that was a great story, and we also heard from students all over the state with different types of mental health challenges.
We're talking to Rory Linane with USA Today Network Wisconsin, organizer of Milwaukee Kids in Crisis Day of Action event. She's been covering youth mental health for the Kids in Crisis series. Rory, stepping away from these stories for a moment, let's look at the big picture. You've written about efforts to measure how we're delivering mental health to kids and families and how it's working. What do we know about what's going on in Wisconsin?
Not as much as we probably should know. So we looked at some surveys that have been being sent out to parents of children with severe emotional disabilities who receive some state-funded services. And we saw that from 2006 to 2016, in every year, less than half of parents said they were seeing positive results from the services they were receiving. And specifically for African-American parents, the number was only 29%, which is a lot lower than the national average of 66% satisfaction with the services. So those numbers didn't look good, but when we started asking about them, officials also pointed out that it's a really limited sample size and that there are other children who don't have as severe of emotional disabilities, but less severe mental health challenges, who we don't have this kind of data for. So the director of the Office of Children's Mental Health basically said, we don't have a good measure for knowing how kids are doing and what services are being effective.
That said, by that incomplete measure, when it's compared to similar measures in other states, you had charts. Wisconsin's not doing very well. Other states seem to be improving. We don't. Do I have that right?
Yeah, that's right. When you compare, it's hard to compare apples to apples when you look at other states, but because every state does their survey differently, but we do fall toward the bottom. And when you look over time, we haven't seen improvement in Wisconsin.
Now, you've been covering mental health for a while, youth mental health, in this Kids in Crisis series. You've brought people together to talk. You've brought youth together. Do you see, at least even if we're not seeing health improvements, mental health improvements, like more openness to have this conversation?
Definitely. Yeah, I think just in the past few years that we've been doing this series, we've seen it. We've at our event in Madison, we had a lawmaker up there talking about how he went to therapy. So I think people at all levels are becoming more comfortable sharing their own experiences. And we've also had a new podcast this year called This Is Normal, where we had students from all over the state sharing their stories publicly.
Are you still looking for students to tell their stories, whether it's at a one-day event or on the podcast?
Yeah, always. The podcast season is over, but mental health is an issue that we're never going to stop covering. So always looking to connect with more people.
What kind of stories are you looking to cover next as you continue the Kids in Crisis series?
That is kind of unclear at this point. I think our kind of season is over, so we're regrouping and seeing where to go next.
And when it comes to state efforts to deal with mental health problems, state and local and school efforts, what kind of things do we have out there? What kind of resources are there for younger people and their families?
I think There's a wide variety. There are some resources at the county level, and then there are also resources in the schools. And I'll also shout out the Hope Line. It's a text-in support line at 741-741. If you just text the Hope Line to that number at any time, there will be trained volunteers who can help you talk through any emergency emotional issues that you might be having.
And then in reading some of your series, it seems like kids who have been through either mental health problems themselves or like Erica, who we heard at the beginning, who have seen it in their families, at least some of them have this desire to help others, to help other kids going through the same stuff. Is that something you're hearing a lot?
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of the people who have become the greatest advocates have stepped into that position because they've seen kind of the harm that can happen when we don't talk about these things.
Rory, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
That's Rory Linane, reporter for the USA Today Network Wisconsin. She joined us to talk about the Kids in Crisis Day of Action events in the state and the ongoing Kids in Crisis series, drawing attention to the stories of Wisconsin youth dealing with mental health problems.